Welcome to church. Are you excited about Love Week? Yeah. It's going to be an amazing week. And if you're joining us for the first time, so glad you're here. We are getting ready for a great week together. We'll talk more about that over the next few minutes. But we are in the final week of a series that we've called Full Disclosure. And I want to take a moment before we dive in and just say a big hello to our other locations today, to our online location, all of you who are joining us online. Big welcome to you and to our Hocassin location, our church family in Hocassin. We love you very much. So Newark, let's put our hands together. Come on, make some noise. And welcome everybody in our community of faith. Over the past few weeks, we have been unpacking this often misunderstood book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, that paints a picture of what's in store for our world. And again, if you're here for the first time, I'll give you a little recap of where we've been. So we've seen that the point of this book of the Bible is not that we would be afraid of what's coming, but that we would be aware that this world will not last forever, that the things that we often treat as if they're permanent are temporary, and the things we often treat as if they're temporary are actually permanent, and aware that there is more to this life. We've seen that the way to prepare for a crisis in our lives, whatever crisis comes, whether that's personal or national or global or whatever it may be, the way to prepare is to endure patiently, to do what God shows us to do consistently, and then to believe relentlessly, to maintain our faith in Jesus. And I've said this throughout the series as we wrap it up. I want to say it just one more time, that if you missed any of the messages, I really encourage you, go back and watch those. You can find them on our YouTube channel and get caught up to speed on all of those. I encourage you to share the series with a friend, maybe who has questions about the Bible or about even kind of things happening in our world, because over the past few weeks, I think a lot of us have gotten maybe a new window into not just this book of the Bible, but what our faith could look like and how it could continue to grow. So as we wrap up the series today, how many of us have ever had a meh experience? How many of us have ever had one of those experiences? So that word, meh, yes, it is in the dictionary. I didn't realize this. It is actually a word, and it's an expression of indifference, apathy, or disinterest. And if you're like, I'm not sure you're pronouncing it correctly, meh. So I've had some meh experiences. I've eaten at a restaurant that I once loved, but then was like, that meal was kind of meh. Have you been there? I've settled into a new season of a show that I used to think was great and just got a couple episodes in and thought, you know, this is kind of like, meh. I've met some people. Just kidding. Just being serious. That afterward, I was like, meh. I've probably been that person for some other people as well, so I fully acknowledge that. But all of us have had meh experiences. And I don't know what in your life right now feels this way, kind of middle of the road, not great, not horrible maybe, but definitely not good. It's just sort of meh. I don't know if your job is meh, you know. If you've been inviting your boss consistently and they're here, don't respond, you know, unless you're online, you can. They don't know, you're anonymous. But maybe your summer has been kind of meh. Maybe you took a vacation. It was like, I thought it was going to be great, but it was meh. Maybe your finances are meh. Maybe your marriage is kind of meh. But how about your faith? How's your faith? Wherever you are spiritually, whether you're new to all of this, you're excited about a new place in your faith, you've just started following Jesus, or you've been renewed in your faith, maybe after being kind of meh for a long time, or maybe you have been a follower of Jesus for a while and you're committed and you're trying to grow spiritually. Maybe you're still trying to figure out exactly what you believe, but wherever you are in that, have you ever wondered how big a part should faith play in my life? How important should this life with God be to me? Maybe you're wondering to yourself, I believe in God. Is that enough? Does that qualify for something more than a meh kind of experience? I pray sometimes, especially at work because of what you just mentioned about my boss. You know, is that enough? Or maybe you're thinking, dude, I came to church. I'm here. I'm not who you should be preaching this to. And I get that. But wherever you are, maybe you started a spiritual journey or you took some steps, but then you got distracted life happened, and life with God became just a little less important. Could your faith be meh? That's what we're going to talk about today. So the book of Revelation actually starts with some letters written to seven churches. And some of these churches are doing great. First three chapters of Revelation, encourage you week one of the series to go and read that. If you haven't yet, read those first three chapters because they set the stage for the whole book. And there are these seven churches. Some are doing great. Most have some issues. Some have some very serious issues. But the last church of the seven is unique because this is a church that isn't doing great, but it also doesn't have a lot of obvious issues, or at least the people in it don't think it does. So here's what we read. Revelation chapter 3, write this letter to the angel of the church in Laodicea. So this, remember, this book was written by a guy named John, one of Jesus' closest followers, but it's not just the revelation of John, it's actually the revelation of Jesus. And he's communicating to us what Jesus showed him. So this is Jesus speaking. I want you to write this letter to this angel. An angel could refer to a spiritual being that provided protection and guidance to that church, or some scholars believe it refers to the pastor of that church, the person who was guiding the church spiritually and helping them grow in their faith. Write this message. This is the message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. So this is Jesus referring to himself, and he calls himself the Amen. That word Amen is kind of a biblical word, and you've probably heard it before, but maybe you're not really sure what it means. It means, yeah. That's basically what it means. Yeah. So be it. Or you might describe it as, you know that's right. That's what Amen means. Like, you know that's right. And so Jesus says, let me tell you who's talking to you right now. I'm God's, yeah. I'm God's, you know that's right. You know the world was lost and needed hope. And you know God loved the world so much that, yeah, he sent Jesus. He sent his, yeah. It's exciting, right? So Jesus says, I want you to know who I am. I am God's, you know that's right. So I have the authority to tell you what I'm about to tell you. And here's what I'm going to tell you. I know all the things you do. Some people know some of the things you do, but I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other, but since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. So have you ever taken a drink of something that was supposed to be hot or cold, but it was neither? It's a gross experience, right? I mean, imagine you are outside, you're working up a sweat on a hot day, you're mowing the lawn, or you're serving during Love Week, and you're working up a sweat, and you've been working hard, and it's fulfilling, but you come in, you're hot and sweaty, and I say, you know, great job, let me get you a nice glass of iced tea, and then I hand you a glass of room temperature tea. Yuck. I may not escape that situation alive. Or flip the script, it's winter. I know it's tough to imagine right now, but it's a freezing cold day. It's 18 degrees outside. The wind's blowing 40 miles an hour. You've been outside shoveling the driveway. You're looking over at your neighbor who has a snowblower and you're trying to keep your salvation. And you're shoveling your driveway and it's freezing cold. Your nose is frozen. You come inside, you're shivering. And I reward you with a steaming mug of hot cocoa. Except it's not hot. It's room temperature cocoa. Yuck, bleh, or another way of saying it is, meh. Like, I guess you could make a case that it could have been worse. You could have poisoned me. But it certainly could have been better. This is, you could have done so much more if you put just a little bit of intentionality into it. It wouldn't have really taken that much if you just would have put a little effort into this, could have been so much better. So the people in Laodicea would have understood immediately what Jesus was saying, because water came into their city during this time. Laodicea was a historical city, and water came into their city from two sources. There were hot springs in one direction that flowed into the city, and there was a cold water source in the other direction, and they met before the water got to the city. This water combined, and the hot water cooled down along the way, and the cold water warmed up, and then they merged together, which led to lukewarm water. Laodicea was actually a very, very wealthy city. It was a renowned city. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But they were known for their surprisingly poor water quality because it wasn't cold and it wasn't hot. And Jesus says, it's interesting that you live in a city that has water that isn't cold and isn't hot. It's just kind of meh. And your faith is replicating that situation. Yeah, I wish you were hot or cold. That would be great. But I know you, and I know the things you do, and that's important. There's so much about our faith that takes place on the inside, but if it doesn't make its way to the outside, eventually what's on the inside starts to wither and die. And so Jesus says, I'm looking at the stuff you do, and you're not hot or cold. You're complacent. You're indifferent toward what really matters, so the only reasonable thing to do is spit you out of my mouth. Apparently, Jesus is not into meh faith. And I know that's a lot. It's intense. And if you're not sure what you believe about Jesus yet, by the way, you could breathe a big sigh of relief because this is not aimed at you. In fact, look over to someone you're pretty sure is a Christian and be like, mm-hmm. You need... Amen. Because this, Jesus doesn't say, tell the city of Laodicea that they're all, you know, kind of meh. He says, tell the church. Tell these followers of Jesus they've become meh about their faith. It seems they wanted just enough God to make them feel good, but not enough to threaten their control over their lives. Like just enough God to be like, well, you know, I'm Christian. Check. But not enough to actually transform the way they lived. And it's clear that not only were they not honoring Jesus, they weren't having an impact on the world around them. They couldn't because they were meh, and meh doesn't change the world. Jesus is rating this church on TripAdvisor, and they get 2.5 stars. Not one, not five, meh. That's like, I've looked at you, I know everything you do, and I give you a meh. This is not a good day. So the question, of course, is why? What led to these people in Laodicea, in this church, what led to them becoming spiritually lukewarm? And here's the answer. You say, I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So we can all agree, right? When Jesus talks to you like this, it's a bad day. Can we all agree? Like, this is not his usual way of communicating. He doesn't wake us up every day and be like, you know what? You are poor and wretched and blind and naked. But every once in a while, he needs to speak some strong words because the pain of what he's saying is less than the pain of what will happen if we didn't hear what he was saying. So these people did not understand their true spiritual condition. Their view was, you know what, we're rich. I'm rich. I have everything I want. I don't need anything. I got all the subscriptions. Like, I got everything's at my fingertips. And Jesus' view was, actually, you're wretched and you're miserable. Why? Because the richer you get and the more you think you know and the fancier your wardrobe becomes and the more attention you pay to your reputation, the more poor, blind, and naked you actually are. Now, that's a lot, but remember, this is a famously wealthy city, okay? This was, historically speaking, Laodicea, one of the wealthiest cities in their region. Yeah, so it was very wealthy, and these were wealthy people. It's not like these were Christians who had become poor to be Christians. They were blessed by what was happening in their city. Nothing wrong with that. But it had begun to get out of place in their lives. I read recently that a lot of really rich people are running into some big problems right now. And one of the biggest is finding new ways to spend their money. It's heartbreaking. And it actually is heartbreaking in one way. But I'm not talking like rich, I'm talking really rich people. So they're getting into yachts. You say, well, people have always been into yachts. No, not just yachts, giga yachts. So there were yachts, there were super yachts, that was a big deal, but now there are giga yachts. A giga yacht is at least 300 feet long and costs somewhere between $300 and $500 million. It's a gig yacht. And people who are, the problem, you say, well, what's the problem? The problem is people who are really rich but own yachts that are less than 300 feet long are having an existential crisis. They're getting upset because they're looking at these people that have bigger boats than they do, and they're like, what is wrong with me? I only have a 279-foot yacht, and Bill has a 328-foot yacht. I'm just not doing what I need to do in life. Now, I'm not trying to be offensive. Like, if you have a giga yacht, first of all, I have a couple of Fridays free throughout the rest of the summer. Love to come pray over it and just be a blessing to you. I really just want to... But you understand, these are not boats. Some of them are larger than naval destroyers. And most of us, because it's laughable, right? Most of us do not have this problem. Now, if you do, again, I mean no offense. Like, if you're ultra rich, you're like, the biggest thing I worry about every day is how to spend all some, you know, more of my money because there's so much of it. But most of us don't have this problem. But the reason we laugh and the reason we think it's ridiculous is because of context. Because the truth is, most of us do live in a famously wealthy country in comparison to the rest of the world. And there are probably people in other countries who, when we're like, what is wrong with my Wi-Fi? They're going, seriously? Or I paid for 1 gigabyte, and I checked the download speed. So there's something for us here. Now, there are some people in our church that this is a real issue for, and if you don't have your basic needs met, if you don't have food to eat or a place to stay, we care about that and we'll help. But for most of us, even those of us who feel like things are a little bit tight right now, we actually live in this famously wealthy setting in contrast with the rest of the world. And that's not bad or sinful. We didn't choose that. It just is what it is. But it does mean there is something for us in these verses. And one of the biggest things is that money will never be a replacement for spiritual health. It just won't. It doesn't mean it's not important. It just means it will never replace our spiritual health. And the reality is just the opposite. The more of it we get, the more it will erode our faith if we don't put it in its proper place and maintain a healthy dependence on God. That's why Christians have a consistent habit of making it very clear on a regular basis, not just when we feel emotionally moved or like we have extra, we make it very clear as a habit. It's habitual. Jesus is Lord of my money. We do this by giving first to honor God and to serve others. That's what giving our first does. For me, the first thing I do every time I get paid, every pay period, first line item in my budget is the tithe. I've been doing this since I was 15 years old. I'm gonna put God first. What am I doing? Intentionally making myself briefly poor so that I may be eternally rich. That way, no matter how much or how little money I have, it's not Lord. Jesus is Lord, and it's very clear. And by the way, I don't wait until I feel generous because I'm not a philanthropist. I'm a follower of Jesus. There is a difference. A philanthropist accumulates as much as they can and then gives out of the extra. A follower of Jesus gives by faith first and trusts God for whatever needs come after that. That's the difference. So don't wait until you feel emotionally moved. Don't wait until you feel a certain thing or like you have extra. Give out of faith, not convenience, and God always provides. So there's something in these verses for us. Are we yeah about our money and possessions, but meh about Jesus? Where are we with that? So good news is, I know it's a lot, good news is Jesus never leaves us without hope. So here's an experience that you'll never have with Jesus. First of all, he will never, and I hope you respect him for this, he will never water things down to make you feel better in the moment. But he will also never leave you without hope. He will always give you a solution, and here's the solution. So I advise you, Jesus says, to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be what? Rich, like really rich, rich in ways that matter. Also buy white garments from me so that you will not be shamed by your nakedness, and ointment for your eyes so you will be able to see. Jesus says, I have a solution for your spiritual poverty and your nakedness and your blindness, but it's going to cost you something. Now, we talked about this a few weeks ago, that a relationship with God is free. Relationship with God is free. We can't pay for it. Jesus already did. There's nothing we can do to earn a relationship with God. We don't earn our way to heaven through good things that we do. It's so important to understand. Jesus already paid our way in full. He paid for us to have a relationship with God. You can't earn it. You can't pay for it. You can't be good enough. I can't be good enough. Nothing we could ever do could be an appropriate payment for our relationship with God. So the good things we do, that's not how we earn our way to heaven. But that does not mean that doing good things isn't important. Because the truth is, a relationship with God is free, but living out our faith is not always free. And Jesus, when he writes to this church, he says, I know the things you do. So first he says, your wealth is misplaced, and it's leading to a meh kind of faith. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to buy pure gold from me. This is not talking about physical gold. This is not investment advice. He's talking about a spiritual resource, gold that has been purified by fire. He says, I want you to be willing to walk through difficult things in your faith, keeping me leader and Lord, and not tying yourself to the wealth of this world, but tying yourself to the wealth that is in heaven. I want you to buy pure gold. In other words, Jesus is inviting us to let go of what we think will bring us security and exchange it for what will actually bring us security. That's what buying and selling is. I take something I have that's of value and I exchange it for something that has more value. Jesus says a relationship with God is free, paid for in full by my blood, my death on the cross. But now I have some other things I want to do in your life. But to have them, you're going to have to let go of something you think you'd rather keep in order to buy something that is much more worth having. It's an exchange. If you're going to spend time with God, you're going to have to sacrifice a little bit of your schedule. I'm selling that first few minutes in the morning to buy time with God. You're going to serve, you're going to have to say, I'm selling my selfishness to buy a life that is more pleasing to God. My relationship with God is free, can't earn it. But if I'm going to grow in my faith, there are things that I've got to do to partner with God in this process. Jesus said it in another place this way, sell your possessions. How many of them? He left that up to us. But some of them, and give to those in need. This will store up treasure for you, where? In heaven, and the purses, the containers, the safes, the safety deposit box, the investment accounts of heaven never get old. They never develop holes. Inflation does not affect them. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it. No moth can destroy it. And the reason it's important is because wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. In other words, when my faith is meh, I can't give my way into heaven. You can go to heaven with a meh faith or a yeah faith. But I don't want to get to heaven and Jesus be like, way to go, 2.5 stars. So I can't pay my way to heaven, but what I can do is I can say, I'm going to take some of my treasure and put it where I'd like more of my heart to be. Some of us have been praying, oh God, I just want to feel you more. I want to be more passionate about you. And Jesus is saying, great, take some of the treasure that you're holding on to, that you're hoarding, that you're keeping close to the chest, that you're lying awake at night worrying about, and put it into what matters to me, and then your heart will automatically go where your treasure goes. You say, I don't know if I believe that. Yes, you do. Just buy a brand new car. First few weeks, what do? You park it, you're like, you see somebody pulling in, you're like, is it right between the lines? You see somebody pulling in, you're watching them. Don't you scratch my new car? That's your heart. Saying, I've been programmed by God to follow the treasure. My desires go where the treasure goes. My passion goes where the treasure goes. My motives go where the treasure goes. So Jesus speaks to us and he says, listen, you've got to understand there are people in this world who seem rich, but they're actually poor. And there are people who might seem poor, but they're actually rich. Why? Because they give to those in need. They give to alleviate spiritual needs and physical needs and emotional needs and mental needs. Several years ago, we committed as a church that we were going to give at least the first 10% of everything you give here outside our walls to meet needs. And by the way, we did not make that decision when we were financially comfortable. We made that decision when, honestly, there are weeks we didn't know if we could pay our bills as a church. But we decided we're going to put God first, and we've been doing that for a decade. And yeah, it's amazing. But it gets better because beginning in 2021, we decided, you know what, let's raise that by at least 1% every year between now and 2025. Let's just step out by faith. And so this year we will give at least the first 12% away. Before we do anything else, we'll give the first 10% away. Why? Because we're buying pure gold. We're buying gold refined in the fire. As a church, we're being clear. We're storing up treasures in heaven. And if you're a follower of Jesus and you're not practicing this yet, start today. Don't meh your way through your finances with God. Yeah, your way through. Jesus, you want me to be generous? Yeah. Don't be like, meh. Be committed. Sign up for recurring giving. Dollar cost average your way into the kingdom of God. Since I was 15, I can look back. Since I was 15 years old, how old am I now? None of your business. But since I was 15, I can look back. My goal is when I die, the biggest investment I've made with my life was in this. That if you add up every other thing that I paid for, spent on, the biggest line item would be this. So do it. Dollar cost average your way into what matters to God. You can't buy your way to heaven, but you can give in a way that will transform your meh faith into yeah faith. And by the way, you will be so much more content, even if someone else has a bigger giga yacht. And one last thing on that front, if you're like, I don't know, I get uncomfortable when we talk about giving, you owe it to yourself to ask why. All right, second, Jesus says, your clothes are inadequate. Not only have you misplaced your wealth, but your outfit is meh. You're too focused on appearances. So buy white garments for me. So one of the things that the city of Laodicea was also famous for was this glossy black wool that they produced. And people took great pride in owning it. It was expensive. It was exclusive. Everybody wanted this wool. If you were wearing this, it was clear. You'd arrived. You were rich. It was like the giga yacht of the first century. And Jesus says, don't put your faith in appearances. Put your faith in me. Buy white garments from me. So he takes whatever the opposite of what the culture says matters, and he says, no, go the opposite direction. Buy white garments from me. So let me ask you, how do you judge people? And how do you judge yourself? Is it by appearances? Or do you look at your own life and say, who am I and who am I becoming? And am I focused on what really matters? I think this is why it's so important that we have real people around us. We have a group in our lives that we can get real with, people who are not just focused on external appearances, but they're focused on who we are. They care about character. They care about the real person and the real life. I had lunch with a friend a couple of days ago. We hadn't had a chance to catch up in a while. Very, very close friend. And we sat in a restaurant for 3 hours and just talked and encouraged each other and talked about faith and talked about getting closer to God. We were honest with each other about our struggles. We need that stuff. Why? Because if we just buy into the appearance mindset of the world around us, we're gonna dress ourselves in stuff that the world says makes us look well-dressed. And Jesus says, actually, you're completely naked. So don't buy into the things of this world. Buy white garments from Jesus. Find your identity in Christ, not in this world, not in what people think, not in what other people make a big deal of. Living for that makes us naked, but living for Jesus clothes our life in his goodness. And then third, finally, Jesus says, your perspective's distorted. He's trying to tell us what leads to a meh faith. He says, you can't see clearly. It's making your faith mediocre. So buy healing ointment from me. What does that mean? He says, you're blinded by petty things. And that struck me when I read that. You've let little things become the priority and big things you've put on the back burner. He says, you've got things that don't really matter, that they're taking up your vision. So let me heal your eyes so you can see what I see. Seems one of the things the Laodiceans had lost sight of was the people around them who were in need. And can I tell you, just be honest, that happens to me. I become blind to the needs of people around me so many times because I'm preoccupied with my own concerns and my own troubles. Anybody got any troubles? I got troubles that have troubles. I have troubles that have pet troubles. Like, I mean, I've got, and I can get so preoccupied with that stuff that I get tunnel vision and I become more and more fixated on what's going on in my tiny little world and I miss the needs of others. This is why Love Week is so important. This is not a church program. This is a vision clinic for your soul. It's an opportunity for all of us to get our eyes checked. Do we see what Jesus sees? Do we see who Jesus sees? And you say, why is it so important that as a church we're serving in our communities? Because again, we are not just giving a cup of cold water. We are giving a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. We're serving in a way that is rooted in something that will actually help a person long after the food or the act of service is gone. We're letting Jesus shine through us. We're saying, I want to be healed so I can see what Jesus sees, and then I want the world to see Jesus through me. So sign up to serve for Love Week. If you've got kids, sign them up to serve. Take them to the optometrist this week. Hey, kids, you know what we're going to do? This week we're going to go serve for an hour or two. Because I want you to see what Jesus sees. Why is this so important? Because here's the message of Revelation. Enough with the meh faith. It's time for a yeah faith. You want me to serve Jesus? Well, yeah, I will. You want me to give? You know what, Jesus? I've said enough mehs. Yeah, I will. You want me to love people that I used to look at as unlovable? You know what, Jesus? Yeah, you loved me when I was unlovable. So yeah, I'm all in. Want me to forgive people who've hurt me? Yeah, Jesus, I will. It's gonna be hard, but I'll do it. Because here's the invitation. Look, I stand at the door and knock. And if you hear my voice and just open the door, that's the first step. Just be like, Jesus, I'm going to open the door. He says, I will come in. We will share a meal together as friends. He's standing at the door, knocking. You know what Jesus wants? And again, this is for all of us who consider ourselves followers of Jesus. You know what he wants for us? What he wants for me? What he wants for you? He wants to come in. He wants to come into your life, into your career, into your family, into your dreams, into your worries, into your hopes, into your fears, into your ambitions. He wants to come fully into your life so that you can have a 5-star experience with him. So for that to happen, enough with the meh faith. I wonder if there are some of us today that would just say, you know, there's a lot, this is challenging. Maybe I should have skipped this series. But I think this might be a word for me. Just enough with the meh faith. I'm not talking about jumping through hoops to try and act like something we're not. You know, it's never appropriate to act like something you're not, but it's always appropriate to act like something you're not yet. You see the difference? A lot of areas in my life, I'm not a hypocrite. I'm acting like something I'm not yet, but by the grace of God, I fully intend to be. So, enough with the meh faith. It's time for a yeah faith. So if you're a follower of Jesus, and there's a little meh in your faith, like there is so often in mine, here's the question. What do you need to buy from Jesus today? Do you need to buy pure gold? Do you need to renounce your over-reliance on money and possessions or your anxiety and worry about money and possessions and make Jesus Lord of your finances again? Do it. It's worth it. Do you need to buy white garments? Do you need to stop living for shallow affirmation and find your identity and who you are in Christ again? Do it. He's standing at the door. Open it. He'll come in. Remind you who you are and whose you are. Do you need to buy healing ointment? Do you need to open your eyes to see the hurting and the hopeless again? You can do it this week. Love Week is happening this week. Change your schedule around. You say, but, you know, but sounds a lot like meh. But when maybe it's not a good time, meh. Well, I don't really, you know, I'm not meh. How about just, you know what? Yeah. Yeah, I'll move my schedule around. I'll create a block of an hour or two, and I'll serve, and I'll turn from my indifference. Why? So you can be rich. You don't have to do everything, but do something. Enough with your mere faith. That's the message of Revelation. It's time for your yeah faith. And if you receive that today, if you would say, man, it's a tough word, but I receive it into my life, would you just shoot your hand up? All of our locations, you're in Newark and Hokesson online right now, just shoot that hand up high toward heaven. Let me pray for us. Father, we honor you, our God. Lord, I repent. I'm not wallowing in shame. I'm running to you. And I repent of all the ways in which my faith has been kind of meh, just lukewarm. I know you're not here to judge me. I know you're not ashamed of me. You're just calling me back. Come on, would you put that in your own words and pray that to him? Jesus, I know you're just standing at the door. And I just want you to know today I'm letting you in. You can come back in to my life. I renounce my worry about this world and being taken care of. Our God will provide all we need. I renounce my infatuation with what people think of me, my insecurities. I know who I am in Christ. And I renounce my blindness to the needs of people around me. I can't do everything, but I can do all things I need to do through Christ who gives me strength. I'm turning over my meh faith today. Whatever you want, Jesus, the answer is yeah. And while you let God speak to you for a moment more, listen, there are a lot of things in life where it's okay to land in the middle. Mexican food or Italian. Summer or winter. Chocolate or vanilla. Even Republican or Democrat. But you can't land in the middle with Jesus. Maybe you're not ready to believe anything yet. But if you've been kind of like kicking the tires and hesitating and God's drawing you to him, listen, you cannot land in the middle ultimately. You got to make a decision about him. He doesn't want to be added on. He wants to be leader and Lord of your life. And if you're here today and you need a real relationship with God at any of our locations, this is a moment when you can say yes, yeah, to following Jesus. So I'm going to lead us in prayer again, and this is your opportunity right where you are. Well, everybody just stay focused on God. Whisper out a prayer of faith if that's you. If you want to begin a relationship with Jesus, pray something like this. Jesus, today I give my life to you. I believe in you. I don't want to sit on the fence any longer. I'm turning over my life to you. I believe you died to forgive my sins, and you rose again, and you're Lord. And from this moment on, I'm going to follow you. And if that's you, while everyone's still focused on God around you, if you would say, I want to be included in that prayer, I'm putting my faith in Jesus today, will you lift your hand, just hold it up boldly all over the room here in Newark and Hokesson, hold that hand up. Online, type the word faith in the comments. Share that with us if you're taking that step. You're saying, yeah, I'm going to follow Jesus. Yeah, that's awesome. Yes. And then everybody, will you help me? Let's give Jesus, don't give him a mad praise. Come on, let's give him a yeah praise.